Father, we want to thank you for your kindness and your mercy. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your holy written word. Give us revelation. Give us insight. Change us, O Lord, and bring us to the center of your will. Help us to receive the light from your word, for the entrance of your word gives us light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my message would be Possessing the Promises of God. Possessing the Promises of God. Now, God has given us promises. His promises are for Abraham and his seed. We are the seed of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. We are the sons of Abraham. So all the promises of God are for us. Some people have been deceived to think that the promises are for Jews. No, the promises are for the children of God. We are the seed of Abraham. 2 Peter, first chapter. You know, many times when we hear that in many churches that Christians are going through severe suffering and lack and want, and they're sick, and they have not enough money to do whatever that they are, to meet their needs, and there goes a very great struggle. We have not been taught to appropriate, to get hold of the promises of God. God's promises are so real, and he has given it to us. And if we don't make it in reality in our lives, what is the use of giving the promise? 2 Peter, first chapter. Third verse, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Can you see that? Exceedingly great and precious promises. In another place, this word precious, the same Greek word has been used for, you know what? Precious blood of Jesus. Peter has used the same word for the precious blood of Jesus. Now we see here the precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature. Through these things, through the promises of God, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. He has given to us. He has promised us many things in his word. If we do not know to know what the promises are and get into action, we are not going to get it. I mean, there is no use. We are going to just believe in just prayer, and prayer is good, but without the promises, what are we going to claim? God says, put me in remembrance. 2 Corinthians. We need to know. Second Corinthians, first chapter. Verse 20. For all the promises of God, it doesn't say some. Now, this book has been written for whom? To the born again children of God, right? To the born again Christians. Okay. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Can you see it? All his promises are yes and amen. You cannot leave one promise out. Now he who has established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. So God has given us precious promises, and now he says all his promises are yes and amen to all of us. But we somehow, we run to and fro here and there, asking everyone to pray, and then we too pray without mentioning and holding on to the promises of God for different types of needs. God has given us promises for different needs. And you need to use that, just like the tools. You can't use one tool for the other. So we need to study and explore, go deep into the promises. We need to spend time with the Word of God. God will not reveal His whatever that's in His Word for those people who are just, you know, shallow life and don't give enough time for the Word. Well, what has God? What are you going to do in the day of trouble? And the trial comes. Now, God gave Abraham, promised a land. You remember when Lot left Abraham, and the Lord said, Abraham, now look up. Lift up your eyes and see to the north, to the south, to the west, to the east. All this land I will give to you. I have given it to you. And now his descendants after Isaac and Jacob, and after that all these children of Jacob. Now they were led by Moses after being delivered from Egypt. Now they, even though the land has been given to them by promise, by covenant, they have to take possession of the land. Now listen carefully. Like God has given the promises to us, He gave the promise of the land to them. Only thing, the land is not going to come to them. They got to go into the land and possess it. Take over. They got to walk in and take over. And there was a fight involved. There were enemies there. And they got to go by faith. And the Lord said, I will be with you, and I've already promised you that I have given it to you. Wherever your footsteps over there, and at that place I have given to you. So go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. You see, these are all written as examples for us. It's a type. As children of God, we need to get into action. Don't just come out to church and listen to some message and then go home and then just pray. I'm not saying praying is bad, but then you need to get into the Word and see, what is it that God has promised me? What is this land? What is the promise for to get finances, you know, my finances met, the needs? What about protection? What about health promises? We need to explore. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8. Therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land. Go in, say go in. Say, you can't just simply stay and then get the land, even though the Lord has given it. You got to go in. The same way, even though God has given us the promises, we need to get in. We need to get into business. That promise is mine. And many times there would be a fight, a spiritual warfare. There would be a fight of faith. That's why Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. The devil will try to turn our talks, our words into different directions, speaking contrary to what God has already promised in His promises. Because of the circumstances, because we mix up with unbelieving people, even Christians who speak negative all the time, because they are not in the Word. Are you listening to me? And that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God swore to give your fathers to them. He swore to give your fathers to them and their descendants, and the land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess. You can see how many times the word possess is coming. Can you see that? You got to possess it. This is where we make the mistake. When trouble comes, when there is a problem, so maybe the devil is attacking. The circumstances are so bad and we just, oh Lord, please help me. Lord Jesus, please come through and get me out of this and do that and do this. But we have no promises to hold on to. But he has promised certain things for that situation. That is in the Bible. And we need to study the Bible and get that. Lord, you said this. Because he said, put me in remembrance. State your case. What is your case? There are promises for children, the promises for husbands and wives, promises for the family, promises, financial promises, and lots of things. And health promises, ministry promises. There are many things he has promised, and he said he has stamped it with the blood of Jesus Christ. They are yes and amen. The land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt which you came from, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot, a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess, can you see? Possess means to take over. Take over. Is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven. So we need to study and to explore how to possess the promises of God. See, many people think that everything is going to happen just by prayer. No. There has to be a promise to be based on that promise, to release that prayer. And God will say, oh, somebody is lifting up my son. Who is the son? The word. Lord, you said it. Lord, you said it. Even the great, you know, there's a, Daniel is considered to be the great, the beloved of God. Gabriel came and said, oh, beloved of God, you are beloved, greatly beloved, accepted in the beloved. And when Daniel, he prayed, he went through the book of Jeremiah and found out that Israel should be delivered. And he was living at that time. And he said, 70 years that they will be in Babylon under Chaldeans, right? And Daniel prayed and said, Lord, almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, you said it. That after 70 years, you set them free. You make them to get back to their country. And as he was speaking these words, who came? Gabriel came. Can you see? He was speaking the promises. And here we are. Oh Lord, please help me. Everybody fast. And oh Lord, what am I going to do? There's no power for this prayer. Some people ask pastor to pray. That's okay. But then you are a precious child of God. And Peter says, God has given us precious promises. He says, exceedingly great and precious promises. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb and yields seed according to its kind. And the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God created these things and these plants for these plants to bring forth fruit. And he said, let them bring forth the tree and the fruit and everything after its kind. After its kind. The tomatoes brings forth the tree and the fruit after its kind. Why? God said it so. Tomatoes will never, you plant the tomato seed, will never have the eggplant. Why? One reason, because God said so. After its kind. After its kind. So God put those seeds inside. Inside the seed there is life. And inside the seed there is everything necessary for the plant to bring forth its kind and bring forth the fruit with the seed in it. That was the plan of God. He never planned for the people to use up all the, at the early days, okay, after the creation, for the people to use all the fruits and everything, and then later, oh God, what are we going to do? Okay, now all you are finished up with everything, and you drops all the fruits from there, from heaven. No. He planned for the earth to operate, seed, planting the seed growing, the plant coming forth, bearing fruit with the seed in it. Remember this. This is how it works. Whose plan was this? His plan. 29th verse. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth. Every herb that yields seed. And every tree whose fruit yields seed to you and shall be for food. Can you see that? Now today, let's say we go to the mall and we want to get some tomatoes, get some okra, get some fresh spinach, and get some other vegetables, right? Like we're going to buy some watermelon. You know why those things are there? So that we can go and buy? Well, how is it there? Where do they get, which company is making those things? No company is making those things. Somebody has gone and planted those seeds, didn't they? Somebody has been taking those seeds and planting it. Somebody has been watering it and it has been growing. They plucked it, they put inside the tractor, they took it to their yards, and they packed it in boxes, and it came through the long vehicles, and they distributed to all the shops, and we go in and buy it without thinking. Somebody planted it. Someone planted it, and God gave the growth. God gave the increase. We don't realize this. We think, oh well, these are coming from a slotting machine. In Genesis 8, 20, chapter 8, take it. Verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. I just want to stop there. Seed time and harvest will not cease. You know why he said this? Shall I tell you why he said this? He has to say this. Seed time and harvest will not cease. You know why? I will show you why. You know, God never said, let the waters bring forth all the herbs and plants and yielding seed. Did he say that, the waters? No, when he was creating the fish, he said that. When it came to creating the herbs and all the plants, he said, let the earth, or let the ground bring forth. Let what? Let the earth, the ground bring forth all the herbs, and the herbs that produce seeds, and according to their kind that produces their fruit. So the seed, the tree, the fruit, the seed inside the fruit, and then the seed, the tree, the fruit, and the seed inside the fruit. Can you see? It goes round and round and round. And God gives the increase. Now, why is it God has to say, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest will never stop? You know why? I saw it only yesterday. Go with me. I was speaking to them. Third chapter, Genesis. While speaking to Adam, this is what God said. Then Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have been eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Now watch. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Cursed is the earth for your sake. That means, oh dear, all the herbs and the plants and everything, this is going to be done. That's it. There's no going to be increase. There's not going to be any seed time or harvest, or nothing is going to be, because God pronounced a curse. He never cursed Adam. He said, cursed is the ground. In toil you shall eat of it in all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. and you shall eat the herb of the field. Can you see that? So God has to now pass, say, okay, after the flood of Noah, he said, all right, the seed time and harvest will never cease. Thank God. It is his mercy that even though human race has decided to follow their own will, to be independent, to live an independent life away from God, I will do this, I will do that, I will go there, I will, you know, independent. God still did not take away. Even the wicked man sows some seeds of tomatoes, it comes up. It comes up. God makes the sun rise both on the righteous and the wicked. Why? Can you say why? Because of his mercy. His mercy endures forever. And they are new every morning. His mercy. So God's plan was seed, the tree, the fruit, and the seed inside the fruit. And many years afterwards, Jesus came, right? Spoke about the operation of the kingdom of God and how God wants things to be done, how it works in the spiritual kingdom. So Jesus came telling a story, a parable. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Verse 3. You know, many gathered around him at the seashore, and he opened his mouth and told this parable. He did not speak any deep things, but he just explained to them how the kingdom of God works. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Can you see that? He's going to talk about how the kingdom operates, how the kingdom of God is not going to work within you, how it functions. We must get into the operation of the kingdom of God. How we, only when we understand this, we would be able to understand, appropriate the promises of God so that we can take possession of it. What is the use of God giving us the keys if we do not know how to open the promises of God? We're going to just simply throw our prayers and then not get anything. You see? People are learning and learning year after year, Sunday after Sunday in churches. But then how many? You ask some families and you ask every individual, even here, when is the last time God answered your prayer? When is the last time you gave witness? When is the last time you got an increase? When is the last time you held on to that promise and then God brought that promise to pass? Most of the time, we do not know what he has promised during a situation. For that particular situation. So we do not know how to pray. And God says, okay, what's your case? Oh, my case, I have this problem. So what is going to, you're going to remind me of? Put me in remembrance. Oh, Lord, I thought you never forget anything. He wants us to say what he said. Even Moses said, you can't destroy your people. No, no way. What about the promise that you made to Abraham? What about the promises that you made to Isaac and Jacob, our patriarchs? You can't do that. No. You know what God did? The Bible says he repented. That's a very strong word. When Moses spoke and God repented from doing the evil. One time he wouldn't let him go. He held on to the promises. And God said to Moses, leave me alone. And he said, no. He's too soft-hearted. He's judged, right? But that he's so merciful. He's not going to wink at sin. But he loves people holding on to the promise. No, you said it this way. You said it this way. And the Bible says in Numbers 23:19:1, God is not man to lie. He's not going to lie. If he has said it, will he not promise it? Will he not bring it to pass? He is not man. Only men will lie. And the devil is a liar. He's a father of lies. But God will never. He has sworn by himself. And he has stamped with the blood of Jesus. That promise is for you. Every promise. And we need to take possession of the promise. Isn't that right? So we need to know, hey, if you don't know, exploring the Bible, ask the Lord and ask somebody, what is the promise? I'm going through this. What is the promise for this situation? And there is a promise in the Bible for every situation. And we need to lift that promise up. We need to speak the promise. When the devil hits in the mind, we need to speak the promise. When you are going through a bit dark, we need to speak the promise out of the mouth. When God hears the promise, God hears the promise, and the angels begin to work when they hear the promise of God. Psalm 103 says so. So Jesus speaking here, a sower went out to sow. A sower went out to sow. And he speaks about some seeds fell by the wayside and the birds came and took it away. Some seeds fell by the rocky places, stony. And then they sprang up, but then there was since there was no enough soil, no moisture, they dried up. When the sun rose up, they dried. And the others fell by, the other seeds fell inside the thorns. And the thorns grew and then choked the seeds. It didn't give forth fruit. It grew, but then the thorns just choked it. And other seeds fell on good ground and they gave 130, 160, some hundredfold. Those who have ears, let them hear. You should take very carefully how you are hearing now. It may be that God will give you a revelation right now, or maybe you, after you hear this, if you didn't get it, later when you hear this CD or cassette, I was listening. How did I miss it? Only now you have got the revelation. You need to have the light, the revelation of God's word by the power of your spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 8. Now, you know that the parable of the sower is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three. You know, one scripture, not one word, is written in vain. And God could have written some other thing, you know, some other stories in place of all these things. Why should Matthew and Mark and Luke write the same thing? Because it's so important. Jesus said, if you do not understand this parable, you will not understand anything else. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. What is Luke saying here? A sower went out to sow his seed. And go down further to verse 11. Now the parable is this. Jesus is explaining. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. You remember? Let each herb and let each plant bring forth its kind after its and fruit and the seed in it. The tree is known by the fruit. The fruit has got the seeds. And the seed grows. And it becomes a plant and brings forth fruit. The same kind. Its kind. The seed of God brings forth his kind. And Jesus said, the seed of God is the word of God. And we know by Revelation 19:13, the word of God is Jesus Christ. The voice of God is the Holy Spirit. So God has given us seeds, his words in this dark world. He never gave us power in the sense. He never gave us prayer, just pray to me. No. He gave us seeds. And if he gives us seeds, what to do with the seeds? keep it in a place and watch it. Oh, look at this seed. The farmers receive the seeds, orange seeds. Do they receive the plants? No, man. Apple seeds, various other seeds of vegetables that we go and buy in the shops, right? Listen carefully. They receive the seeds. What do? If they just keep the seeds, the farmers, will they, will there going to be any? No, this is simple. They got to go and plant them. Prepare the soil and plant them. We are lazy people. God gives us seeds. We do nothing with it. We just look at the seeds. That's all. Maybe we hear about the seeds. That's all. We don't plant them. The seed needs to be planted. No use. Jesus is talking about the seeds. Nothing more mentioned about the sower. The sower goes out of the scene. It's more mentioned about where it fell. Nothing wrong with the seed. In the parable, nothing wrong with the seed. Because it's the word of God. It's everything to do with where it fell. The wayside, the rocky place, the thorns, and the good ground are different hearts of people. Even today, as you are hearing, you may not know on what sort of a ground it's falling there. What kind of a ground that you have. What condition of heart you have. Because the word of God is the seed of God. I was mentioning yesterday, we just cut open a papaw, ripe papaw. What do you see? It's all orangish yellow, right? The part that we eat. And in the middle, my Lord, like pepper. You know, so much. You cut it in half. So much within one fruit. And what we do is there, we just scrape up all that. Some people, they put in ashes and then keep it for them to plant, right? If it's a good kind of pepper. We just take those things and scrape it off and just throw it behind our backyard. And after about a week or so, or 10 days, you see small plants come up there, tiny little ones with the papaw leaf. Have you seen that? Man, that's a miracle, man. You know why? If you have kept it by the side of your table, nothing would have taken place. The seed needs the soil. It has to touch the ground. Because God said, let the ground bring forth. Let the earth, not your table, bring forth. If you put them inside your box, nothing's going to happen. God never said, let the box bring forth. Let the earth bring forth. Are you there? The earth is our soil and the seed is the word of God. So the word had to be planted inside. What if I take the papaw seed and then I color it? And keep it on my table. Oh, I color it. I color one with blue and yellow and purple. And oh, some people are like, what is this? No, these are papaw seeds. Some people color the scriptures, you know. All color. Hey, look at it. Look at the colors here. But if these things are not planted, is this any good? Is it any good? I'm not against coloring. You have to, you know, certain promise you can. But then, please, make sure those seeds are in the correct place. Where should it be? The heart. That's the ground. We keep most of the time the worries and problems in our hearts. Some people would say, suddenly after some time, what is it that you are a bit sad about? No, I don't want to say. Say. You know, 4 months ago, yeah, you said something. Yeah, you keeping that in your heart still? Yeah, I can't forget it. See, we keep it in the midst of our heart instead of the word of God. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. You see, the Spirit of God is keeping the thing open for me, the book of Proverbs, before you and I could say. Verse 20, my son, that's you. Never mind, you are a woman. Give attention to my words, because there's no gender in the spirit, right? Give attention to my what? We give attention to, what did he say? What did they say? What else? Oh, wait a minute. I'll give them. We give attention to what others said. We give attention to our emotions. Emotions become the king of kings for us. Many times. Why? Because we don't give attention to the word of God. Give attention to the words, to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline your ear. That means bend down, humble, and listen what I am saying. God is speaking here. Incline and see. Yes, Lord. Yes, speak, Lord. I want to hear. Speak to me, Lord. Incline your ears. You see? To my sayings. I received a little bit of light in this verse. The words is the written word of God. And the sayings is the voice of the Holy Spirit. So we have the word of God and the Holy Spirit. The word of God was already written. Now written and given to us. The sayings are, for example, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, rise and go to the desert. Join the chariot. That are sayings. The rhema word. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In the midst of your heart. In the middle of your heart. We keep the problems and troubles and what others said in the midst of our heart. And what happens, Pastor? They sprout out and grow. All the leaves and the fruit comes through our eyes and our ears. And the fruit comes out of our mouth. I'm waiting to see him. Wait a minute. I remember. It is 7 months now. I'm keeping it where? In the midst of my heart. So, that seed will grow. The Bible says, do not plant different kinds of seeds inside your garden. No. God is speaking about you plant my seed and then plant somebody's seed, devil's seed. What's going to happen? Can you see that? What's going to happen? Nothing. So keep them in the midst of your heart for their life. Say life. They are life. They are life. He didn't say they are strength. He didn't say they are a good feeling. They are life. Life is power, prosperity, health, peace, joy, whatever. They are life. To those who find them, we have no to find. We don't have time to find them, do we? We easily find our problems. We search for them. They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Can you see? God has promised. He says, my son, my words, if you listen and obey, keep it in your heart because they are seeds. It is going to grow, bring forth fruit, and is going to be medicine for you. It's going to be medicine for you. It's medicine. Derek Prince had some problem with his body. And then he prayed and prayed. Nothing happened. But he started. The Holy Spirit led him to these scriptures. These four scriptures that we read now. In the Middle East, a desert. And he was meditating on these things. And meditating the scriptures on health and all that. It's vanished. But God says, they are. What they are? The words. Health, medicine for your flesh, your body. Here we are. We don't get the promise and put and sow it here. What we do is we wait until sickness strikes us. And then we try to get the promise done up immediately. So we need the seed, which is the word of God. Every promise of God is a seed of God. They are his seeds, but they are of no use unless they are buried into the soil. The promises of God are seeds of God. What are we doing with it? How many promises we know? How many promises we mention in our prayers? Oh Lord, you said that you will be here, Lord, when we gather. Yes. That's all. What is a petition that we were going to lift up to him to receive answer? And we must see what promise has he made in his word. So that becomes the seed. And we say that and hold on to it until it brings forth harvest. That's how we take possession of the promise. The promise is the seed of God. It's an imperishable seed. 2 Peter first chapter. Oh Lord. 2 Peter. First chapter. Where is that? Verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love for brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God. Can you see? So the word of God is incorruptible seed. Once you plant it, watch out, it's going to grow. The soil is the heart. It will, must grow. Because it's the seed of God. God said, my words will not return empty to me. They will accomplish the purpose to which it had been sent. So, is it the first Peter or second Peter? I'm sorry, first Peter. First Peter, first chapter, verse 22 and 23. So God gives the seed. It is our job. What we do with the seed is our business. A sower went out to sow. The seed must be sown. The promises of God must be sown within the heart. So spend time, search the word of God. Pick up the seed that you need for the situations even before they come. Don't wait to pick up the seeds of health, the promises for healing until you become sick. Will you go and buy seeds of tomato when you are starting to cook tomato curry? Let's say Shyamala is going to cook a tomato curry for us. With something in it, and then we say, okay, we will cook it. And she's going up to look for some seeds. And we will say, well, what is she going to do with the seeds? Now she's going to plant it behind the garden. Or, I think we need to call an ambulance. Shall we pray for her, please? Didn't we say, yeah, sure. But we can laugh. Most of the time, that's what we do. We wait until the flood comes over. And then see, is there a promise to get out of the flood? Oh, we'll go to Noah. Oh, Noah must be knowing something about flood. Can you see? We wait until the problem has come. How can anybody go and sow some seeds and then get the harvest immediately? But that's what we are doing. Are you listening to me while you are looking at me? That's what we are doing. When the problem hits, we go, Lord, I know they're full of seeds. Can't find any, Lord. The Lord shall bring judgment for the... That's not seeds for me. Therefore I will bring charges against you. Oh, that's not for me. You don't know where the promises are. Those are written for the wicked people, for the backsliders and for all kinds of... Even for the backsliders, when we really turn to the Lord, there is a promise in Hosea. Isa, come, I will heal you backsliding. Turn to me. Turn to me. Confess your sin. What did I say where to go with? Now go to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. You see, there is work for us to do. A farmer, a lazy farmer, will be broke. A lazy farmer is no more a farmer. We can easily say he got something wrong with his mind. He's got a field full of thorns and there are no fences around. The wall has been broken. And he just living on what? Welfare. Because he's lazy. I'm not having anybody in my mind. I'm just saying as the Spirit is leading. I'm not saying to take welfare is wrong. No, I didn't purpose. Don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. Get the welfare in the proper way and live. Don't die. That is given by the government, so that's a blessing. Yeah. And once we know when, hey, can we, when God gives us the money, money is used to buy certain things, right? Right? Money is not used in the curries. God gives us a seed to what? For what? To sow. He says, my word is a seed. What are you doing with it? Well, I have marked a certain of your seeds and colored certain, and I am reading to find out what the seeds are. No use. They need to be planted. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6. Thank you. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Seed of God is the word of God. And Paul says, I planted it. The word of God needed to be planted. What I am doing now, I'm planting it. I'm planting it. What kind of a soil I'm planting it, I don't know. I'm not God. I'm not responsible for tilling up the ground of another man. But God can give me some instruments, some things that I can speak, and you will go, ouch! Because the spade comes and tills up the ground, breaking up the fallow ground. Now listen carefully. I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. The seed must be planted. Because the seed was not planted in all the three cases, the wayside, the shallow people, the stony places, the stony heart, a heart that's not prepared, there's no soil, softness inside. And the others, thorns with full of worries and cares of this world and pleasures of this world, they are into all kinds of things. They're living in their own understanding. I will do that and I will do this and I'm going to buy this. And yeah, what about Sunday? Yeah, I'm coming to church. Yeah, I'll come. They just come and say it and then, you know, put some money, maybe tipping the Lord. And then they go off and then some don't even pay the tithes in many churches. And then they expect a harvest. What harvest? There is no seed. There is no seed. The Bible says seed time comes first and harvest. No seed time, no harvest. We are expecting miracles and signs and wonders. And for God to come through and for God to perform His promises in reality in our lives, but we don't plant the seeds. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the Word of God. We don't plant them. We don't, you see, the farmer had to take time to plant. He examines the seeds and he selects the seeds. I am going to plant carrots. Or I'm going to plant this time tomatoes in my garden. That's what I have decided. I need them. But many people in this area, they need it. They're asking me. So this farmer goes out with tomato seeds. He gets the seeds and he prepares his soil. He plants. Why? To get the harvest. Here we are. God says, I've given you the seeds, my promises. Possess them and we do nothing. And Jesus explains and tells them, the seed is the word of God. The soil, the ground is your heart. And you say you have no time to till the ground, prepare the ground. And you read, and I think it's chapter 24 in Proverbs, the lazy man's garden. Go and see that. Read that. We'll come to that later, preparation of the soil. So Paul says, I planted. Are you planting the seeds? Apple are watered. Now, many years I thought, well, after you study the word and meditate the word, and you got to pray. Prayer, that is watering. You water it with prayer. No, you don't water it with prayer. Prayer is essential, but here is mentioned apple are watered. Apollo did not go after Paul preached and taught the word to Corinthians, and he said, okay, let's pray. Oh, Father, please help us this word increase in our hearts, bring forth fruit as Paul has taught them, Lord, has planted these seeds. So I pray. No. Apollo went and he expounded the word, what Paul taught. He brought it over and over again. He made them to think about it, meditate upon it. So what he was doing, watering. The word of God is also mentioned as water. Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit. Water is the Word of God. Jesus cleanses the church by the water of the Word. 5:26, Ephesians. So the Word is also water. Those who are thirsty, come and drink. It mentions about the Word, also the Holy Spirit. The water that I give you, Jesus said, you know, that Word will bring forth. It'll, my words are Spirit. And their life, John 6:63, Jesus said. So it begins to overflow. Do we have an overflow? No, we have an overflow of anger. We have an overflow of emotions. We have an overflow of fear that shows upon our face. We have an overflow of depression. Why? Because the seed of God, the word is not in our hearts. We know them here and there in our minds. That's by the wayside. I believe the wayside is just like, you know, just listening and then keeping something here and there in our mind. Oh, I think I remember. Wait a minute. He said not to eat and not to touch. What? God gave the seed to Adam. He did nothing with it. He said, I have given you all the plants and all the everything freely you can eat. Except this one. He gave the seed, but the man did nothing with it. Eve did not know the totality, the essence of the seed, the understanding of the seed. So she misinterpreted it to the devil, the snake. She was trapped. If you don't know the scriptures, don't talk to the devil. Hey, that's a good one, eh? And that just popped out of my mouth. Because you're going to say something wrong, and you're going to be in trouble. Why you talk to the snake if you don't know the scriptures? Just don't talk. Don't answer. But if you know the scriptures, just stand, take one sword, and just pierce it right there. Because it's a two-edged sword. Amen? So the seed must be planted. The promise of God must be planted. What is it that you're facing in your life? Oh, Pastor, I want to know what God has called me for. Okay, find out. The scripture's there. I will show you the way you should go. I will keep my eye upon you. And it will reveal it to you great things that you have not known before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your path, and he shall direct your paths. Surrender your thoughts to the Lord. He will establish your heart. There are so many promises, but we don't know them. We simply pray, Father, I don't know where to go. Direct me, Lord. That's a prayer, all right, but God says, this is not a seed. Where is the seed? Because Paul says, I planted it. What did he plant? The word of God, seed. Apollo came and watered it. I was telling the Sri Lankan people last night, you know, I planted it. And all the other brothers who are there, and sisters like Rosalind and Jirani and all the others, they're watering it. They're expounding and going over what I have said and then explaining it to them over and over. So they're watering it. They're watering it. They're watering it. But then Paul goes on to say, who gave the growth? God. God gives the growth. God gives the growth. You see? Now when you come, when you keep on reading it, verse 7, so then neither he who plants, that's Paul, is anything, nor he who waters, God who gives the increase. God used me to plant the word. He's using all those brothers in Sri Lanka, when I'm here in Canada, to water, watering the word. That means making them to go through it, explaining the word, making them to reminding them, to making them to stay in the word. What are they doing? They're watering the word. But only one can bring the growth, the increase. Who is that? God himself. So it's nothing to do with person who plants and also the person who waters. But is there anything higher or lower where these two jobs are concerned? Now, watch this. Verse 8. Now he who plants, that's Paul, and he who waters are one. They're one. So actually, even though I'm here, the brothers and sisters who are watering the word, they're one with me. God will reward them the same way. Both are important. But always remember, who gives the growth? God gives the growth. He gives the growth. How much time I have got? 2 more minutes. Is about 14 minutes left? No, I don't. I live for 60 minutes. So, remember that the promises of God are the seeds of God. They need to be possessed. In order to possess the promises, we must receive the seeds, memorize them, meditate upon them, put it in our heart, write it and keep it somewhere. Put it in the car, everywhere, and memorize and talk to one another. And then say those promises, the seeds, reminding God. God doesn't need to be reminded, but he said it. Put me in remembrance. State your case. And you say it and say it and say it until the harvest comes. Until the harvest comes. The seed is the word of God. The soil is the ground is the heart. The seed needs the ground. Yeah, it can only grow on the ground. Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it falls and dies, it brings forth much fruit. So get the promises. Go through the Bible. Don't waste time. Don't just sit and blink and say, oh, what am I going to do? Maybe one day before Christmas, God is going to bring it to pass. No. No. You don't plant anything in the garden. Nothing. If John doesn't plant anything behind the garden and he stays there kneeling down and prays, oh Lord, brings the harvest. And then I would tap and say, what is the harvest for, yeah? I will also pray with you. He said, oh, no, I'm just praying for the harvest. Lord brings the harvest because he promised the harvest. I said, was there a seed time here? Did you plant anything? No. There is no seed. I know that he's not going to do that, but there is no seed. There is no seed for the prayer to be answered. Have you got a seed? Oh, Pastor, please pray. Pastor, I'm in trouble. Please pray. Keep your hands on my head. Put some oil. Make sure the oil is clean. Where is the promise? Where is your seed? Then we will trust in both. We will hold on to that promise. May the Lord bless you.